Okay, good morning. I'm going to start. Welcome to the regular meeting of the Board of Directors for the Early Community Services District. The date is July 9th, 2024. We'll call the meeting to order, starting with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Director Armstrong.
Yes.
You're here?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Director Swan.
We're not paying attention.
We have a forum.
Thank you, sorry.
Okay, and we ideally given a motion to approve the order of agenda.
I move to approve the order of the agenda.
Sure.
Oh, we don't have to do the count, right? Since we're all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. Ayes have it. Alrighty, for the public comments. Members of the public are appreciated for taking the time to attend this meeting and provide comments on matters of just the business. Public comments are subject to a 3-minute time limit, 10 minutes on an individual topic. Although no action can be taken on items not listed on the agenda, please know we are listening carefully to your comments.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to see the screen full of people, but we have Jessica and we have Lonnie. That's pretty good. So anyway, you can submit public comments as well on each item on the agenda. And you can do that either in the chat function on the Zoom platform by clicking on the icon and then just typing in your message. We'll keep an eye out for that. You can send an email to GCSD, to board@gcsd.org, and we will look for those to come in. And also, email, chat, or you can use the raise your hand function. We'll call on you in that way as well.
Cool setup. Hi, everybody.
Hello. Good morning.
Good
morning. How are you doing? Okay. Change that to E. All right. Is there any public comment at this time?
I'm sorry,
any public comment online?
I know we did receive an email that was for board comment that was addressed to Pete yesterday about it. And I gave you guys all a copy of it. I just wanted you to be aware, and we did provide a response yesterday. So I don't think that it needs
to was this submitted as a public comment?
It was under board comment. So do we want to read it?
Yeah, no? I don't know. Go through it. Anyway, the message was from doesn't really matter, Warren Larson, but it was submitted as comment, so I'll go ahead and read it. Dear Mr. Campa and GCSD, just a notation and observation of the past weekend while driving through downtown Groveland during the July 4th weekend. I know the merchants, PML groups, and locals are working hard to make Groveland a more appealing destination for tourists. And there has been progress in polishing up the appearance of our quaint town. My question is why, in the residential homes that lie interjected amongst the commercial buildings, have all the landscaping dried up and once beautiful yards look neglected and ragged? Is it a water rate issue or something else? Question mark. The hanging baskets were a good try, but without a more appealing background, they're lost in the initial impression of what's happening here. And why is the Labrador Park the only green oasis? Is there no way that the owners of the various vacant buildings can be incited to at least keep up their yards? Being an unincorporated township, my understanding is that GCSD and our standing supervisors are pretty much responsible for issues of the township. Or is this beyond your purview? Just thought you might be able to clarify the position for me. We clarify that it wasn't a water issue, it's probably a change in ownership issue. And people just not really caring about what their yards look like because they're owning property for the purpose of owning property, not to beautify the town. So, anyway, just kind of an interesting
baskets and the platters and the garbage cans, they've been awesome.
They do. Very nice.
They really do. It's amazing.
Very much so. All righty. So then we will move on to the information items. Seems like you wrapped it up. From the fire department, I'm guessing you all have been busy.
Chuckles. They burned a bunch of them down in Sacramento on 4th of July.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Travis Chun, fire captain from the Coastal Fire Department. This is the monthly report for June 2024. And we're kind of continuing the theme from May with vehicle accidents. On June 1st, there was a vehicle accident on Highway 120. Two vehicles were involved, and there was only one patient with minor injuries. And then on June 2nd, had a vehicle accident on Old Priest Grade, approximately 250 feet below the roadway. One occupant was found trapped with serious injuries. We ended up using CHP helicopter to hoist the patient out. And then on June 22nd, we were part of a dispatch to a vegetation fire off of Priest-Coulterville Road, which started as about a half acre. And due to the location, kind of in a remote spot, air tankers and helicopter crew were essential to get the fire contained. It was ultimately contained at 1.3 acres. And the cause of the fire is under investigation. And then as far as equipment, everything is in service. And one note, engine 783 is currently being staffed at the State Groveland Station by State CAL FIRE personnel. And everything else is available. In addition to our normal monthly training, FAE Santiago Martinez attended Instructor 1 training in Riverside. FAE Rex Du attended ICS 300 training in Oakdale. We also did hose evolutions, extrication, patient packaging, ladders, high pick point, rope anchor, extrication, Narcan, epinephrine, AED, and Lucas device.
Nice.
And then FAE Santiago Martinez also attended the Castle Fire Academy in Atwater, where they host Firefighter 1 training. And that allows people to get their state Firefighter 1 certificate and also sets them up for future promotions. So that was good that you got that opportunity. We also did some training with the Groveland B crews, hose lay and vegetation fire training, which is always great at the beginning of the summer. And then as far as fire department news, engine 781 was out of service for the better part of the month. We had a wiring harness that failed and took a while to get the parts. Once the parts got installed, still continued to have problems with the stop engine light that kept coming on. Ultimately, the problem continued from when the county mechanics had it until when Matt came back. When Matt transitioned in, he got the problem solved in one day. That's an awesome mechanic. And everything's been good since. And he also took care of some issues that we found on engine 787 while we were staffing it in the absence of engine 781. So Matt came back and it was day one. He got on this stuff and got us up and running extremely fast.
Sweet.
And then as far as call volume, we had 42 calls in the month of June. Five of those were A2 Fulton County. Engine 631 had 35 calls, and we're pretty much on trend as far as the past few years. And that concludes my report, unless there's any questions.
Did anybody here go to any of the local choirs on a, what do they call it? Yeah.
Not from our station. Some of us were held on working behind people who went. No.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, the county. It was a good stop on preschool.
Awesome. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a bad location.
Yeah.
Now that watch meeting is scary.
Yeah.
That's, to have one to notify you.
What's
going on? Did you find out? I don't know if I want to know.
Where was it?
Off preschool Hill Road, but sort of up closer to a ridge top. We're in a remote area, hard to get to. So,
out by the power lines.
Yeah, it's nice that we're so close to air tankers and everything from Columbia.
Yeah.
So we can get aircraft over and fire very fast.
Yeah.
I was afraid they were all somewhere else. Would we have like five fires going on?
Yeah.
They get knocking fires down pretty good.
Yes, we go by the charter.
Fast start here. Let's see the couple of
us yesterday. Yeah. Oh man, that one. I mean, we had friends coming up that day. They got stopped over in Sperry. So they're 2.5 hour drive from San Francisco. You think of 3 and 3 hour 45 minute drive. Anyway, so this was the first time we go by, and it's just like charge, 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 and then there's that row of houses. Safe, 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 safe. Charge, charge.
Just on one side of the road.
Yeah.
The other side of the road, just still.
They had to have just surrounded those 4 or 5 houses.
I mean, it
got a little bit more than there was one house. Yeah. Yes, that helped the road grass trail still.
Yeah. I have some friends that were in Mariposa right near the French fire, and it was scary transposing that scenario over to here because it burned right down to the backyards of one whole side of Mariposa. The east side of Mariposa, and it got a few buildings in there, but I just imagine what it was like to have something on just on that side of Brooklyn.
Yeah,
it must have been right in front of the laundry station.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was up this way a little bit. Yes.
Anything else?
Nervous.
Busy. On to the search report, Mr. Esmer.
So we had a terrific team meeting. We worked with these fellows, or your compatriots anyway, with firefighter rehab. We went through the FEMA training for that, and then went outside and set up a whole rehab situation. The ambulance was there, the equipment on it was used, we set up the tables and the canopy, and the whole scenario as though it were a rehab. We found some places where we need some more equipment and some things that we should do a little bit better. Really want to compliment Rex. He helped out a lot with the firefighter engineer with not only the FEMA training, but then we had the most important element of everything. All of the firefighters donated their vital signs so that we could take blood pressure and temperature and all that kind of stuff. That went very well. So we appreciated the donation of vitals. So what we're planning now, and this was a suggestion from Rex and several other people there, is that a session probably September where we have an actual drill where it'll be on a day when we're expecting it, but we don't know where it is. And somebody would call in to, is it the ECC?
Mm-hmm.
Call in to ECC and say, we have a need for cert and rehab, and here's the location. And so then that would come in there, they would contact Pete on that day, and he would contact myself, and we would stand up the whole operation from zero to done. And they were talking about seeing if they were available, getting not only the two engines in Groveland, but the ones up the hill in Merrill. They wanted to flood the zone with firefighters, so we had lots of vitals. And so it would be an interesting drill to do. So it's still in the planning stages. That'll give us some time to get the additional equipment that we want. It's mostly medical equipment, so we can take more than two blood pressures at one time and that sort of thing. So there's a regular process where people check in at one side and then they go to a rest area and then they check out at the other side. And we have to follow that process so that they're handled well. Anyway, that was I think a great success. You have one of these in front of you. This is a workshop that is we've set up for the 21st at the Lake Lodge in Pine Mountain Lake. We also have arrangements for people in the community to come in, even if they're not in Pine Mountain Lake. We'll have CAL FIRE presentations. Mostly it's around defensible space in 4291. Emily said she can't make it, but she'll find one of you guys that can make it. So look out, Travis. It all flows downhill, right? So we'll be having a go bag presentation. We'll be talking about the radio network, the GRSM network. We have a commitment from County OES and from Animal Control to be there, as well as the Sheriff's CSU. So we'll be doing that workshop. We also have another one that is a smaller version of that for seniors, and we'll be doing that by the end of July. They're looking at two different things over at the Little House. We call that the Personal Preparedness Workshop. The workshop's kind of intense for the one that will be at the Lake Lodge, and it's 3 hours long, and it's kind of a long time for the seniors to sit and digest all of that, so we're kind of distilling out the things that they really need to know. Pete suggested an idea that we could look at for either the 49er Festival or October, which would be some sort of a symposium or collection of people that all can do work, whether it's contracting work to help people clear their yards or whatever it happens to be, so that we can get all about fire and fire preparedness, so forth. So we'll look into that. July 30th, Rebecca Red Cross is coming here, and Pete and Rachel are going to find a time that will be good for them. We're going to finalize the smoke detector program. So again, that's a team of Red Cross, firefighters, and CERT people to go to a house and install a smoke alarm. So that's been done in several other places in the county, and so we'll finalize that. She's here not only doing that, but she's also going to sign some MOUs with places that prepare food. Two Guys, The Grill, and so forth. Last time they did that, Two Guys said, sure, whatever you want. They're back to the Red Cross, and the Marvell people said, I don't know if we can do that. So we're going to see if we can find the right manager at Marvell and also sign an agreement with the Grill and probably the Pizza Factory so that that doesn't have to be done with stand up an event. And that's my report. Oh, I'm sorry. One last thing, and that is, I think I found a funding source so we can run a basic training for CERT here in Groveland.
Yay.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to work because I'm not, CERT is not eligible, but you guys are.
Right.
So I'll get the thing put together and talk with Rachel and we can all submit it together.
All right. Thank you very much. Any questions for Bob? All right. Moving on to operations.
Well, during the month, we had a few water leaks. That was the main thing going on this last month. We had two service leaks. We had a hydrant leak and a main leak. We had a big old flat. SAP assisted the chamber in setting out the trash cans. it's worked out very well in getting the place for their refilling. Other than that, the guys did, be able to catch up and maintain on the normal day-to-day operations and going to projects. AWS, to finalize that, that should be going out to bid this week. And that's on relocating our temporary water treatment plant over there at our court over to Flint Court. The tank and distribution line that's going to be up there at Tank 5, running in the big old flat down Harper and Black Road. That one went out to bid, and that we actually have a pre-bid meeting tomorrow for that. Headworks is kind of stalled out a little bit. They're back at it today. It looks like we'll be doing the bypass on Thursday, which means we'll be taking the main line that's coming from Lift Station 7 and all the time on Lake. They got to take it out of service to cut and put in a temporary bypass so we can destroy the inside of that building and everything. So we're going to do that and take the line out of town out of service for a little while. So they look like doing it at night, actually. So that'll probably be better for us. Hopefully low flows. But other than that, kind of stalled out waiting for some submittals and some other engineering and stuff that needed to be done on some. They found additional stuff in the ground. Park project. That is supposed to start this week. It got postponed. It looks like it'll start next week. They're going to start demolishing that bathroom at the park. Which kind of works out well because PG&E is going to leave the temporary generator there until the power or until the heat waves kind of leave. So it looks like we'll be taking that out by next week. And the water fill station, the bids came back on that and they're extremely high and just not even feasible. So we went out to rebid it. It's going to go back out and should, I think it's due by next week. So we'll see if we get some other people jumping in on that and bringing that down to a reasonable price. Even if we had the money to do that project, I would not have paid that much money. So it was stupid.
Wow.
It was But that's where we live in, right? We only had one bid. They knew it.
We're going to get
it. We'll throw it in there, right? And that's how the contractors work. They knew where they were at. It was a small project, and I think that's what's kind of deterred other people. Everybody's busy. And for them to come out and do all that is what it benefits for them. So, yeah. CBPG, which is the water line going from pretty much Deer Flat Road all the way to Schofield Road, is right there. We're just waiting for the agreement from the county. They said the end of June. We're in July now, so hopefully soon. And then we have 90 days to go out to bid on that.
We're in the last phases of that.
Yes.
Right now, we're delivering the document, the environmental assessment document to the library, and it has to be available publicly for
putting everything on our website right now, and then that will hand deliver to the county library today, the notice. Yeah.
So once that's published, then and a certain 30-day time frame passes, they can issue a contract. So
yeah. Long time coming.
Yeah, and after the contract, we have 90 days to go out the bid. So
it's stuff.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's gonna tie in with that other project, and it's gonna bring a lot more water down in the middle of the flat area. It's gonna give us a couple different options. And technically, there's only one line going in the middle of the flat. So if we lose that line, we lose water to that whole community. You know, so it's gonna be nice to be able to backfeed it. That's it.
I'd like to just emphasize your help on the beautification. Pat from the chamber could not have gone on more and more about how helpful you were. It was just constant.
Yeah.
Nice to hear.
I'll pass that on to the guys.
They did a good job.
They did.
But like you were obviously like her contact.
Yeah.
It's like, well, first it was Lewis. Oh, that Lewis. And I was like,
Lewis. Yeah. No, it's Lewis. Lewis. Lewis.
said everybody called them Louie. She goes, oh, okay. So then the next time she says something, oh, now Louie. Anyway, thank you.
The fact is, throughout the heat wave, we had one treatment plant that survived.
Oh, yeah. We will throw that out there. We Big Creek was brought back into service. We got the turbine finally situated. We got the PLC, the brand new PLC program, and all the bugs worked out, and the plant ran great. We filled the tank, and then once the sample came back and said that we were able to use the water in the tank, we moved some of the water out and tried to refill it, and turbine did not pump water. So, anyway, so that was right before 4th of July weekend, and the guys are extremely excited about having that up and running for the weekend, and we were down to one plant again, but Anthony and the staff down there did an amazing job on keeping the system where it needed to be off one plant. Second growing, he hasn't really shut off since Big Creek's been out. But it literally runs almost 24 hours a day. But moving water through our system, it's hard to do in certain directions, right? It's a slow process. And anyway, this guy did a great job these last weekend. And,
what's wrong with the turbine pump?
They're pulling it right now. Yesterday, they were under the assumption that it broke a coupling or a piece of the shaft. But today, they came back out and they were saying it doesn't seem like they were right on their assumption yesterday, but they're still pulling the whole thing. So, I don't know. What happened was there's a threshold on when Hetchy is flowing, or not flowing, I guess it is flowing their tunnel at a certain, producing a certain amount of energy for their power system, right? There was a number that was a threshold of 25. If they flow at 25 or below, we cannot pump water from any one of our pumps. They're running at 70 with the pump just fine. They dropped to 35, which is way above the other threshold, but all of a sudden we couldn't pump water at Big Creek and we're pumping water at Second Growing. But so we should be running, you know, around our turbine. So I don't know. And I know that Priest Reservoir too, if it's at a certain level, which it's full right now, it backs up enough to be able to pull water out of Second Growing without any flow. So I don't know what's going on. If there's nothing wrong with the turbine, we're going to have the camera guys that'll be out here tomorrow to camera it again just to see what's going on at the bottom of that. But unless something's changed on their end, which I don't, they're producing a certain amount of power, right? So if they're saying they're producing 35 megs or whatever it is, that's the flow in the tunnel, we should be able to pull water. I don't see how that's regulated differently when it comes off of a meter going into their power system, but I don't know. So we're in a weird spot.
It's the 4th of July, your Super Bowl.
It is on. Well, it's kind of weird. It's one of our busiest. It is our busiest weekend, right? But it's not our busiest month on water consumption. But that weekend is usually our busiest weekend on water consumption. So.
And the product thereof.
Yeah. And then everything else. But we did have, with the power outages, the guys did have a lot of running around and resetting, you know, pumps and motors and all that kind of stuff. But they did good.
Great. Thanks to you also, Earl. You and the whole staff does all the time.
I mean, thanks for reminding that, boss.
That's the one that kept me up at night.
Yeah.
You know. Be ready to have all hands on water conservation and everything else if things go sideways.
Yeah,
that's amazing. You were able to supply enough water on a big weekend like that with just one plant.
Yeah, we actually went out and got AWS to the point where we could start it if we needed to. But you can't just start a plant without it's requirement to take 3 samples off the plant a week. So that Big Creek ran, we only had 1 sample. We need 2 more. So, but our carrier only travels certain days, and it's in Elk Grove where our lab's at. You have an 8-hour hold time. So, to get a sample down there, we're sending someone, right? And the lab's got to be there. And it just has to work out. So, you can't just go, oh, the turbine's working again. We're going to fire this thing up. No, we can't, because we have to pull a sample. So, it all, it's even with AWS, we have to pull a sample and take it down there. So
I'll always volunteer to drive to Elk Grove with the sample. My grandkids
are so.
Feel free to call.
Well, it's one of those things you'd have to have it where it's all, you know, the lab nodes and
right,
all
right.
That. So it's not just, oh, it's working. Turn it on.
Yeah. I would do it, but I don't know if my son would like it.
All right. I assume you're going to do the admin reports.
I was actually going to start with Michelle just closing up the fiscal year. So I don't know if you have anything that you wanted to touch base on.
So I've been working with Pam, our CPA, and taking on, she's been training me on the task that I'm going to start taking on with Razor End and getting ready for the audit. So right now I'm waiting for invoices to come in to get everything wrapped up, balanced, and closed.
And then new news is that I will be cross-training Megan over the next year as board secretary. So she's going to be shadowing me. Yeah, so used to seeing her sitting here with me. And then she's been working in the utility billing set and doing tax roll. So we'll discuss that later during the public hearing. But she's been busting her butt working on that. And then the phase one of the request for qualifications are all submitted. We received two. And so the committee will be getting together later this month to review those qualifications. And hopefully they get some good responses and stuff like that. And then phase two of the ATP application was submitted. And so we're excited. And hopefully by December, I think it was, when they'll be notifying us whether or not we get awarded that grant, which is great. The housing, the employee housing, we're in escrow on one property. And then we have some others that are later on the agenda today under closed session that we'll talk about. And then Laserfish is moving along, and we're hoping it will be fully implemented by the fall within October, but it's being utilized by more than one department now, so that's a good thing. And the employee compensation study RFPs went out, and they are due by the 12th of this month. And so we're just staying busy and
Awesome.
Yep. And we have a movie in the park this Saturday. So
what's the movie?
Homeward Bound.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So
I heard it on the radio.
Oh yeah.
My
message worked.
That's right. Yeah.
Awesome.
Good.
Yeah, they advertise what a broke one. Queen Bees in the Park on Saturday.
Nice. I always hear about Queen Bees.
I never listen to the radio, so I miss it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. A lot of people do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's all I have.
Good job for you.
Yeah, I love to work with you even more than we have before.
Yes.
Absolutely. It's such a good group. You guys are so much fun to work with.
You guys actually look like
you're
sisters today.
The beach day. Yeah.
Yeah. Our hair, you can come back.
We spent a lot of time together.
Yeah, you're a natural. Yeah, usually Jennifer's there with the lighter hair. A little bit lighter. Anyway, okay, we'll move on to the report, the gentleman.
Yeah, you see, there was no written report. That was not by design. It was, I just completely ran out of time. Been, you know, just a lot of, you can see a lot of implementation going on, and you know, when we're down one in the office and management, that tends to increase the workload for everyone else. Everybody picks up and does a great job, continues to smile every day. And also I was gone for a while for the GM Leadership Summit down in Anaheim, and that was a great event down there. You know, to have 200 very energetic, up-and-coming managers in a venue like that, when it used to be just a dozen, it's really good because there, you know, there's a shortage on managers throughout the state. and in special districts as a whole. So it's just great to see people rising up and CSJs taking a leadership role and getting them educated with the essential leadership skills and the certification programs and everything. It's just really, really good. It's always beneficial. I hear something that makes me a better manager every time I go to these things, no doubt.
Can they open that up to the public so other managers and other businesses can learn how to manage?
Anybody can go.
Yeah.
It's a, it's a non-member rate. Yeah, it is. And yeah. They had the number of vendors was unbelievable. It used to be just a couple of tabletops in the middle of the place where you ate lunch,
You have 200.
Now they're down the halls in all directions.
Where would I want to send my kid?
And it's exposing them, these a lot of new vendors. So there's a lot of evolving products out there that I didn't know about that are really, really going to help us out in the future. So hopefully. Continue to look into that stuff. The spent a bit of time on the property acquisition and negotiations and signing forms and reviewing documents and offers, counter offers, that kind of stuff. Not a huge amount of time, but I always want to read everything, which is not the best way to do it. We're working through an extension of our agreement with the Department of Water Resources. For the drought resilience project, the drought emergency project, that's the $8.5 million. It was supposed to be completed, I think, in December, but everybody's having extensions on their projects just because it's hard to get contractors. Contractors are having a hard time getting materials, so we're working through that. We're going to extend that out, I think, a year. Also working on our extension with Caltrans for the Clean California that's already passed this deadline, but submitted all the forms and then had to resubmit the forms again in a different format to be able to extend that to the end of the year so that we can get our bathroom and our sidewalk and our yard structure and all that done and the picnic structure that we've got going on out there. I talked about the two proposals. Excellent teams. Haven't read the proposals yet, but this is for the Hetch Hetchy River Trail. Really experienced. Just really, really hope that we come over with a really good team. And then, working with Supervisor Kapp when she was trying to get PG&E to take care of their business and do something related to the power problems in town. She wrote the letter and I reviewed it and added some things to it. And then she sent the letter to PG&E and it resulted in them showing up with two very large generators that, after quite a bit of time. Oh, let me ask you, when that thing's running, does it keep you up all night? Is it loud?
It's very loud.
Well, we'll talk about it offline.
Too bad it's not the other end of the park.
So
they're
running. They live down there.
Yeah. They've been running it every night, I guess.
Yeah.
I was talking to two, when they first got it there, I was talking to two of their people. One guy said that I asked him if it needed a PSPS or any power failure. He said any power failure. And then the other guy turned around and said, "While we're here, there will be no power failures." Well, he was wrong.
It pretty much that whole process, working with PG&E, then working with yards, then back with PG&E, then the chamber, and just trying to get some of the bugs worked out on all of this stuff was, it's hard to look back on the agreement with PG&E because we had absolutely no idea what we were looking at here, but we certainly would have done things differently. We definitely, as far as the noise goes, we'll work with them on that. It's not what we were expecting, that's for sure.
Can I add something? Mm-hmm. It was really good to hear that they were running that, because that was one of the reasons that the county decided that because there was sufficient coverage for people, alternatives for people, that they did not need to stand up a cooling center at the Resilience Center.
Well, they sure did.
You know, they had the library, the grill at Caramel, which is a public place, not just for Pine Mountain Lake, as well as then the downtown with the generators running it. So that there were so many options. Just a reminder that when we did the cooling center last year here, and also when we did the cooling center over at the Resilience Center, we never had more than four people there at one time. And the maximum we had, I think it was here, was 10 people. And when we had it over at the Resilience Center, there were 12 people, which included a couple of people who came in to say, well, I've never been in here. I just thought I'd come in and look.
Yeah.
So there were plenty of options is what it amounted to.
Like you pointed out, because last year that was the response, that the chatter on social media makes it sound like hundreds of people would be using it and whatnot. Right. And then, you know, somebody comments that what the numbers were before, and they're like, well, that doesn't mean those four people wouldn't have gone and told four more people. And it's like,
yeah, okay.
It's just a no-win situation.
Right. When I was taking the Red Cross training for the warming and cooling centers, they had one number that stuck out to me, and they have literally run hundreds of thousands of these across the country. They said that in almost every case, the number of people that show up is real close to 1% of the population of the area.
Oh, wow. Well, or yeah.
Yeah. And they said the exception to that is when there's a mass evacuation, which is upwards of 4,000 people, and then it runs up to 3%. But that's the number. And they, you know, I was listening to the lady explaining this, and she said, if you ever want to see the statistics, we've got, you know. Yeah.
Quick question. Is the Resilience Center supposed to be viewed as a place for everybody to go if there's a fire? Or is it supposed to be used for the fire department, Office of Emergency Services, Red Cross, blah, blah, blah? Is it an evacuation center?
It can be.
Yeah.
Red Cross can mandate that as an evacuation center. So it has to be deemed that, though.
Right.
The county does. So I was one of the original stakeholders when they were doing that. And the idea was that because during the Rim Fire, there were two areas in Maumee County that had a long way to go, particularly us, to the only evacuation center was the fairgrounds. And so they wanted to have, that was the justification. By the way, that was the only time that somebody west of the Mississippi had gotten the HUD grant. And so the idea was that it would be used as an evacuation center, because there's two of them. It might be, if the fire were here in Groveland, we couldn't use it as such. That means that it would be the fairgrounds and the other one. But in the case of the Rim Fire, it would have worked because the fire never got any closer than about Parade Road at the far end of it. And the fire was headed the other direction. So it's very operational. It very much depends. So the idea is it's there. It's an emergency center. And the county regulation is that if you happen to, let's say GCSD contracted to rent it for a meeting or something, and an emergency happened, that the county can say, sorry, no meeting, and we're using it for this. So it's owned by the county, it's operated by the county, and they have to fund the operation.
Yeah, didn't they evacuate Pine Mountain Lake at the Rim Fire?
It was an advisory.
Oh, okay.
I was ready to go. I mean, they had us on advisory, but
Okay.
It was only the airport.
Okay.
It was just going to
fly out of that. Our next door neighbor told us that there was fire trucks like in every single one of our driveways.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
EC10 flying around.
That's good to hear, though.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, there were 4 or 5 of them. Numbers.
Yeah.
Fire trucks everywhere. All those guys can go.
Yeah. You weren't up here. Yeah. Yeah, all of Groveland, even us up there, a barrel, we were ready to
get alert.
Alert. So, yeah. Quite a fire.
Yeah.
One of my best memories was when a deputy had come by and my wife had come out the street to ask her, and he said, put his arm around her, and he said, ma'am, they always say, find out.
Well, that one of the reasons why I'm in LA is the way they keep up properties, we avoid them. That's awesome.
It's kind of like that when we lived in Merced, we bought this house that was in a new subdivision, few houses here. Ours is the only one on this side. And then there's like a road right here, and the fire department would be right where these papers are. So they had a little open house thing for people one day. And so I went over there and baked some cookies, and most of them were little kids, but we went over and just introduced ourselves, and we're sitting there chatting, and they're like, oh, so great. And I said, oh, we have a house over there on the right. And they're like, oh, we've got a new house. And it's all beautiful house. And it's like, yeah. And then they said, they're talking, and I'm just listening to the other people. And this was their jurisdiction line. So like, this would have been like the city fire department and them. And I was like,
take a cookie.
Oh my God, you're in. I can't throw one. I could throw a ball into your place, you know? And I was in there and I said, so you'd be this close and we'd have to wait for somebody downtown to come up here? And he's like, well, technically that is. So the one guy's kind of trying to explain, you know, whatever. And then the kind of older guy comes over and goes, ma'am, trust me, we're not going to let your house burn. We'll come over there, put it out, and we'll fight with the city later on.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Okay, nice. You sleep better at night.
Yes. Try to get firefighters to stay in the house.
When, you're standing up on the concrete watching it, because it was, you know, a storm throw. All right, you're done.
I'm done. I'm sorry.
Right. Question. And you. Okay. So, proclamation.
You like Star Wars, right?
We have one proclamation this morning to recognize Bob Swan, Robert Swan, for his 11 years of service to the Groveland County
government. We've been looking at each other's face for a long time.
We need to move you around somewhere.
I'm getting all this in next week. It's been
much more
fun.
Yeah, much more fun recently.
Oh,
yeah. Started off good, right, Bob?
Oh, it's
now, I appreciate what you brought to the table when you first came on, you know, level-headed. You tried to keep everything, you know, biased. And just, it's been great to have you on the board.
It's different then.
Yeah.
It's much better now.
Well, you always do your due diligence. You come in prepared. You know the stuff in that packet every month, so it's good. But I'm very thankful that you came on and you both of you guys are still here.
Still does,
yeah.
Also, his depth of knowledge, you know, even that kind of reminds me of one of the guys that I used to work with, print, but oh yeah, about 10 years ago when this happened, just like.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a constant learner too. You know,
yes.
He's at every. Committee, it seems like every committee meeting I go to, there's Bob Swan, you know, all the representing SGRMA many times, you know, he's been on that board for quite a while. It's a great job. Everyone I talk to really respects Bob. Really, it raises the value of GCSD and the area and everything else. Just a great job. All of it's a rock.
It's been definitely an intricate part. Pleasure. It's awesome.
What does Spence say? You can see an error in the numbers a mile away or something. He always has some.
He has a little saying for everything. but yeah, there is something like that that he does say. All right. Thanks, Dan, for everything you
can we get a motion to approve the consent calendar?
I move to approve the consent calendar.
I'll second that, but I will point out that on minutes for June 4th, the meeting didn't start at 105.
Oh, my goodness.
So there was a second.
Okay.
Can you pull it?
Any comments? You have any public comment here in the room? There's nothing online.
Yeah.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, say no.
4-0.
Start here. Actually, half of the list is so seldom. Okay, so that first one, which falls on page 32, if anybody's following along in the hymnals, with the adoption of a resolution of granting the general manager.
Bye-bye.
Thanks again for all you do. Adoption of a resolution operating the general manager to enter into a letter agreement with SiteLogic for the evaluation of facility improvements, energy conservation, energy generation, and or energy management services.
Well. It finally made it past the time. I had to sit down and focus on this a little bit, and I have to appreciate Jessica. I don't know if Jessica, have you been able to stick it out? Are you still with us? Yay.
I'm with you.
All right. So Jessica's with SiteLogic. We were introduced to them a couple of years back, saw them lurking around at various venues and with CSDA. And since that time, they've become, a very, very trusted, very reputable vendor to special districts, providing the energy services. And I'm going to move out of the way so I don't get coffee on my head. Here we go. We love our boardroom. Steve Rogers has been working with SiteLogic, getting them prepared to take a look at all of the energy that we use on our major facilities. We are a major consumer of electricity. We also have property available where we could be generating electricity and storing electricity as well. And the goal would be hopefully to come away with this being having the ability to be able to provide energy to our major consumers, which would be our plant here, our administrative office and plant, as well as the water plants at 2G and Big Creek. Jessica, I don't know if you have anything to add to this, but we made it through to a letter of agreement, and hopefully.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think you touched on a lot of the points there, Pete. So the board understands where we're at in the process. We're really at a very preliminary stage. There are multiple grid reliability issues in Groveland. I know you guys know that. Our goal is to both stabilize your energy cost rates by building solar and potentially battery storage at your main district facilities, but also look at the grid reliability issues in the community of Groveland and especially in the downtown area, and see what we can do on a larger scale to help that issue. I do feel like this program is going to be funded mostly by grants. There are a few grants that might fit this bill, such as the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program and a few others. But really, our job right now is to keep digging. The letter of agreement essentially is an agreement between us, SiteLogic, and you, the district, saying that you guys are essentially promising us that if we can design and develop a project that meets your needs and your economic criteria, then you will go with us for the construction of this project. This is how we make money as a business. We're design and build. We don't want to charge you up front for the design, right? We want to build the project. So that's the whole point of the letter of agreement, is just so that we're both in an understanding that we would be the chosen contractor to build this project or these projects. But there will be a number of additional board meetings in the future before we ever get to the point of a contract, right? There's a lot of design and engineering work that needs to go into this. So we're excited to get started. We've already done a lot of work with the help of Steve and also Pete, but I got to really give it to Steve Rogers because he has been completely dedicated to this project and getting us all the information that we could possibly need. So that's all I would have to add to this at this stage, Pete, but to the members of the board, expect to see a lot more of me in the coming months.
Sounds good. Sounds real good.
Very. You have to do a contract RFP for the bidding of the actual.
Can you speak a little bit to the process? Let's say we get further along, we go through this first evaluation, we determine that it's, you know, cost feasible and ready to move into the next level of agreement. What does that look like?
Yeah, I think I can barely hear you, Director, but I think I heard something about an RFP mentioned. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. So in a typical design, bid, build process, that's what would happen. But for energy projects in California, you don't need to follow that same procurement method. There's a government code called Government Code 4217 that is specific for energy-related projects, allowing you, the public agency, to contract with one entity to both do the design, the engineering, and the construction. This is beneficial for a number of reasons, but if we look at it in the design bid build scenario, you, the district, would have to hire an engineering firm, pay them up front to design and develop this project, which on this scale would probably be upwards of $100,000. And then you would have to go out to bid to then hire that contractor. By doing a design build process, we're not charging you for the engineering and design. So it saves you a considerable amount of money, but it also allows the same engineers who design the projects to be the ones to make sure that it is implemented correctly. So I hope that answers your question.
It does. Thank you very much. That's a great.
I have no experience with it. That's what took some of the time between April and now. So I appreciate you sticking with it.
Thanks. Design builds. I mean, we get a lot of presentations about that at the conferences these days.
Right.
There's not a lot of, can't do it for everything.
Right.
You can do it for some things.
Right. Yeah. It's just because of the so many different factors. It is becoming fairly popular.
Well, it works really well. It's just, I mean, you're just limited in the types of things you can use it for.
Yeah. So
this being one of them. I'll move to adopt resolution number 11-2024. Resolution of the Groveland Community Services District Board of Directors authorizing the general manager to enter into a letter of agreement with SiteLogic for the evaluation of facility improvements, energy conservation, energy generation, and or energy management services.
I will second.
We're public hearing all this fun stuff. People think we're the water company, you know?
Yes.
That's
yes.
All they think.
All the time.
Anyway.
Any comments on or any questions? Or nobody here, obviously. It's basically us. All right. So all of them, I'm not going to reread it because it's just us. Is that okay? All in favor of this? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Say nay. Oh, we're up.
Thanks for sticking it out,
Jessica. Thank you. Congratulations.
Absolutely. Now it's time to get the heavy work started. Appreciate it, you guys. We'll be in touch very soon.
Thanks for your patience.
Okay.
So the next on the agenda starts at page 44, and it is the public hearing. The district will conduct a public hearing to receive public comment and input for the placement of delinquent charges for fiscal year 2023 to 2024 on property tax rolls. The purpose of this portion of our meeting is to conduct a public hearing to receive public comment and input prior to the board's consideration of adoption of placement of the delinquent charges for fiscal year 2023-24 on the property tax rolls. A notice regarding this public hearing was published in the Union Democrat on June 22, 2024, as required by law. This hearing is the public's opportunity to provide comments to the board on whether the listed delinquent amount should be placed on and collected with the property taxes levied by the county of Tuolumne. In a moment, district staff will provide an overview of the delinquent charges for fiscal year 2023-24 and the process and rationale for placing these on the tax rolls. I will then open the public hearing to receive your comments. Following the public hearing, the board will be considering the placement of delinquent charges for the placement of delinquent charges for fiscal year 2023-24 on property tax rolls. And now we're going to open.
Yeah. Okay. So now the public hearing is then open, right? Yes.
Okay. So I will now open the public hearing to receive input and comments on placing the delinquent water and sewer charges for fiscal year 2023-24 on the 2023-24 county property tax rolls.
You read that again.
I think we
get
it.
Four tries, I'll get it right.
Okay, so it's just that regular time of the year when we go through all of our delinquent accounts. Megan started doing that last month. She started with a list of around 44,000 in delinquent charges and was able to collect close to 20,000 of it.
Yeah, about 23,000.
Yeah,
this is very impressive. It's the shortest list I've ever seen.
Yes,
nice work.
Last year, I think we were at 33,000, and now this year we're 22,000.
Almost,
Unfortunately, some of the bigger ones on there are people that are no longer living on this planet, so it's kind of hard to get that payment.
Yeah.
Another plan.
I can tell you that we give them every option to pay, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, of course, when something passes away, that's not
what you're dealing with. This state is
it's very, very much. But our staff does an excellent job of outreach, and they take the abuse from people that are very, very upset about having delinquent charges, and so many of them get resolved. So fantastic job there.
Sure.
And this is really a last resort. And again, this is not the district making money off of anything. This is the district collecting past due bills on the tax rolls on behalf of all of them.
So what happens in the case of an estate? Don't you have to contact
the trustee involved and we never get the money?
But I mean, we have to contact the courts for that.
It'll go on the tax roll.
Uh-huh. And if anything changes, like ownership or whatever, then it will go through like escrow or foreclosures or anything like that. They normally reach out to
it. It's applied to an APN.
Uh-huh.
So the owner is moved on to another planet. The property is still there. So it just goes on the tax roll. Property.
And none of
sooner
these...
or later, somebody's going to want to sell. You know,
right.
Going to want to sell the
right.
property.
Okay, so it's not like
personal. It's
not a personal estate.
And if it doesn't sell after 5 years, it'll go up to auction, and then it'll get bid on, and so it will get paid eventually.
Okay.
And it'll continue to just stay on that tax until it does change hands or it's auctioned off. Mm-hmm. So we'll get the money.
And none of these were aware of as being an estate. Most of them I know are deceased. Yesterday, for one of our properties for $6,200, the granddaughter is purchasing the property. And she made a large payment yesterday, and then she's entered into a payment agreement. So
cool.
We can actually take off.
Make that one
on. Great. Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Wow. So one of the bigger ones on there.
Fantastic.
Or the biggest.
That's the biggest.
Yeah.
I move to adopt resolution 16-2024 approving the placement of delinquent charges for the fiscal year 2023-24 on property tax roll.
I'll second that.
Obviously, no one else. Let's make sure we ask specifically for public comment.
Okay.
Well, we want to keep, we should make it very clear, because it's hard when if someone's listening to the recording, you're going to have a hard time knowing they're going to want to hear.
The hearing was the hearing, then we close the hearing, and then we actually proceed.
Correct.
I jumped at that.
but it's, we just want to make sure that we, that the public knows.
And there is no public.
So
now that, now we close it.
Okay.
Or,
close it
and then make the. Okay, so hearing no additional public input, I will now close the public hearing and bring this back to the board for discussion and action. Do I have board input on the input charges for fiscal year 2023-24?
Okay, I move to adopt resolution 16-2024, approving the placement of delinquent charges for the fiscal year of 2023-24 on property taxes.
Second that motion.
No other comment? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed only? Or nothing. Okay, well, that's concluding.
Okay.
All right. So now moving on to item 7, discussion and action items. Item number A, adoption of a resolution authorizing the general manager to submit a planning application to the State Water Resources Control Board, known as SWRCB, as part of the Clean Water State Revolving Fund, known as CWSRF, to explore the feasibility of connecting existing residential septic lots into the to the district's sewer collection system,
also known as DCS.
And we are now on
SCS. All right, so
48.
This one thing that we're seeing over the years and on a number of occasions of just not have the information we need is, if there was to be a sewer system constructed, where would it go? And there was a planning study that was done. I don't have the year in my head, but there was an initial project that was done that looked at where that sewer would possibly go, but it wasn't done. It was done with aerial photography, you know, just existing data, the existing.
Probably by 2015. I remember Alfonso put something together shortly after I joined the board.
Okay, and I'm not sure if it was that one, Bob, because this was, I read some documents that were related to a violation that the district had with regional board, and as a result of that, they wanted to see this study done. It might have gotten done at that time. It may have taken 10 years to get through that process, and then
it might have done. I remember, there was little sewer lines on it, and you guys can just see what it looked like.
It's,
when you look at it, you said, you can't do that.
Right. Yeah, that's it. But we're dealing with, easement acquisitions, easement abandonment requests, the customers, having built septics because they're having to test them more frequently with the short-term rental requirements, that you gotta test your septic system, make sure you handle it. And so there's just been a lot more buzz about the potential to get sewer out there. It's not that we've got a huge outpouring of people that are coming in saying, please run a sewer line so I can have a monthly sewer bill. That's not the case. There will be. I can just tell you, either there's going to be a technology where the sewer goes nowhere, when that happens, I'll never know. I won't be around to see it, but the regional board will require that these septics get connected to a sewer in a development like that's just, there's absolutely no doubt at all. At some point, they're not going to be able to discharge into the ground. So we've just got, we need some decision-making tools. We need to know an updated cost estimate on what that would be. We need to know how it would be broken into pieces, because you're never, unless there was just some $100 million pot of money that they were going to give us.
Even then, you couldn't do it all at once anyhow.
Yeah. It's just too big of a project. So it's really difficult when you've got some people that are going to really have to spend a lot of money. Their life savings are more valued than their house, you know, than the house used to be, to be able to rebuild their septic system because of whatever the situation is on the property. And it's with a public sewer, it would be a pretty consistent amount of cost people could plan on to connect to that sewer. And so this study would basically just give us the tools, give us the information to have a more accurate cost estimate and everything else, and as well as the topography. We found that some of the work that was done before, sewers don't go uphill and sewers don't go, you know, can't go through certain things. So that's all this is an application. So it'd be a fairly minimal effort to get that application in, and it takes the state a long time to service it. And if they're going to consider the income survey as part of it, the income survey that they did, they could come back with an offer for a loan versus a grant. But they favor the septic to sewer so much that that can be waived. So that's where we are.
Beautiful. Interesting.
Yep. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it did. Some dollars and
cents. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I will move to approve resolution number 17-2024, authorizing the town to submit a planning application to the State Water Resources Control Board as part of the Water State Revolving Fund to explore the feasibility of connecting existing residential septic plots the district sewer collection system.
I'll second that one.
All right.
I think it started there.
Mm-hmm. Something that just came to mind is the federal legislation that provides the definition for special districts that's moving through our federal government. It's going to pass. When it finally does, that will allow special districts to be placed in the funding category, in the actual public agency funding category for programs like community development block grant. So we wouldn't have to wait on this process of going through the county and competing with everyone else. And CDBG is an extremely good source of funds for these types of things, because if you are income eligible, in other words, if we can identify a certain area where there's income eligibility, or CDBG will pay the entire cost of those things. They're not going to pay for an $85 million sewer, but in pieces they can over the years. So it's a good opportunity to get ready to be in line.
I should have. Yeah. So. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. That is 4-0 also. Okay, item B, adoption of a resolution approving an employee housing rental policy.
Well, we're entering into uncharted waters here. we have more work to do in understanding how this whole thing's going to, you know, play out, but the important thing is here we need at least a basic framework. And Rachel did a good job of running down some other folks that are doing just that. They've had employee housing for quite a while, so they've worked out the bugs of how they do the program. I really think it was kind of interesting in their procedure about how they have an internal committee, a staff committee that they have that considers the applications and prioritizes based on the criteria that they have. I think that was a really good idea. That way it doesn't all land on my shoulders on who gets a house and who doesn't. You know, yeah. It really does, but still, it's just kind of an interesting way to go about it. And it sounds like it's worked out really well for them. They have, in Mammoth, they do have a lot more single family apartment and condo units that are they're more expensive. 30. What's that?
Within 30 minutes. I see here that anybody that doesn't know my home within 30 minutes travel time are eligible to participate in the program.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. That's so you know what the travel time this is for.
Well, this is the first time the board's heard anything about this.
Yeah.
They in the Mammoth Water District, they had specific communities identified. They didn't have a travel time distance. They had specific communities identified. Because if you were in those communities and you owned a home, you're close enough to respond. You know, if you were, there's a lot of separations like us. If you live in Sonora, you can't really be the first one in all the time. You're a little bit too far in a travel distance. And these homes need to be available for someone who's on call and someone who's not. So this sets that criteria right up front.
So is this where we would kind of talk about any questions we have as opposed to when we go into close?
That's discussing the terms. This is just informational. I'll just mention, I know this item 15 insurance still says Mammoth Water.
Yeah, I have that circle. And then there's several places where it mentions the apartment condo thing, and ours will all just be.
Well,
for now, anyway,
we could have that. That would be actually desirable, at that point.
So, one thing too is the term it continues on a month to month basis. It's why didn't you have why didn't you start with the 6 month or something? I just
the lease, 6 months,
or it'll just be always month to month.
If you're gonna, if something happens,
you're hoping that the person is gonna find their own place and
stay. Right.
So you don't want to have them locked into a community.
Right.
Well, let them out at least if they do find a place. To stay.
Right.
I mean,
that was hard.
It seems like the simplest thing is just keep it on month to month, and then
to pull this kind of stuff together for our certain situation based off of the gentleman that I was speaking with at Mammoth, because they do have a lot of month to month, that's the majority. They also even have housing programs to help the district actually helps the employees purchase homes and stuff like that. So they have a lot of different scenarios than we do specifically, but this is a great opportunity for you guys to suggest any of the changes that you guys would like to see. And then we can even, make those revisions, bring it back. This is all just so new for all of us. So
I like the idea of if we could help people.
Sure.
Employees buy it. That's another.
That's a whole different
ballgame. Right. Yeah. That's where it says here, working for other public agencies.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll forward you the email actually because remember that guy Patrick and he was saying that there was certain rules and this.
It's a desirable idea. It seems like we have to be really careful about that.
Mm-hmm.
Why would we open it up to other public agency employees?
I'm making an assumption on the reason that they do that there is because. You don't want these things sitting vacant.
Right.
We could not operate it as a short-term rental with the way that the financing is. It's got to be specifically for our public employees as part of our operation. So that's you know, that's why that's there, is it just because other it doesn't cross the line as far as with our the financing, the
right.
You know, the public,
yeah,
public offering, whatever,
yeah.
And any tax. You know.
Never been wanting to be out of temper. I mean, suppose we get really lucky and hire to the point where we're full.
Mm-hmm.
So that these houses, somebody else runs them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably a long ways off.
Right. Yeah.
But again, it's month to month, or, you know, so if we need them back, they're going to have to find another place.
Mm-hmm.
So would it have to be strictly to other public employees?
Other public agencies.
That's the way the policy is written. I have not researched it legally.
So someone
or,
that works at
you know, with the bond council
to
determine
that.
But I mean, that's
I mean, I can think of.
Yeah, or had you.
We have like several rental units, and I'm like, oh good God, ours is really simple. But I like the order in which the funds are applied. Like it, you know, it's like, oh, I thought that was actually really good.
So we're gonna let Hutchins take our employees, and we're gonna let them live the GCSD.
Well, no, I'm just saying that they're a public agency.
So
we're not opposed to let you.
Take
our
employee,
they can live here.
So there's really kind of two components to this, three, really. The policy, which is the first document, which is basically your direction to me on how to run the program. Then there's the procedure, which is our internal process for how we process applications, who gets it, you know, how we manage it on a more flexible basis, because it's not a board policy, it's a more of an internal procedure. But I want you to see it just so you understand that's the way we're going to do it, or that's the way we're proposing to do it. And then the agreement is more of a legal issue. We still have to have that looked at by our legal counsel, which is the last document there, which is the rental agreement that we would use. And just to make it clear for the recording, that we're, in order to make sure there's no tax implications or anything else, you know, income tax, the rental rate is set based on HUD.
Yeah.
So the employees would be paying what that rent amount is. And then we also have the costs in there for some of the utilities are covered.
So
the district
one
services.
Of the things they'll be responsible for everything except for water, sewer, and trash. I thought that seems odd. I mean, especially as big on water,
bill?
Water conservation that we have and stuff, and people are rationing their water and drive by this house and it's got a lush garden and everything is just green because, you know, they're, I just, I mean, I don't
we,
know.
Where,
that
where
would,
are you? If you can give me
page
a number.
63, 13. But then I also wanted to go back to 9, the landlord limits a total number of occupants to 2 adults and, or 2 adults and 2 children. It's a 3-bedroom house. I kind of see people with 3 kids usually passing.
Yeah.
You know, you have 3 kids, 2 of them are of the same sex, they would share a bedroom, just like most of us probably did when we were growing up.
How many limited kids are?
Okay, so let's take those one at a time because I'll need to send it to legal counsel, but they're not going to make a decision on whether we pay utilities, they pay utilities, how many people, whatever. So let's do it one at a time. So on the utilities, this is this came with the frame. This is what was in place there, but we're, you know, it's open to us to structure this any way that we would like. I mean, they can pay all of the utilities. Obviously, there'll be a meter. They're sewered lots. They would have the sewer charges as well. The thing is with this, it would be an employee benefit to some degree. I think it would cover the utilities. I think so long as we're charging the amount of rent that HUD has as their amount, as the market rate,
wouldn't it?
Then there's no tax implications. I think we have the discretion to be able to cover the utility cost if we want to.
That wouldn't be a benefit to the employees if they have to claim on their taxes.
I'm not a tax agent.
Yeah, I think it would be.
And then I just also kind of thought from somebody mentioned some initials earlier, you know, from the public's perception, it's like, oh, sure, we get there, these huge water bills and these huge sewer bills and the employees. You know.
Employees. We get the public,
I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's that came to my mind just as I was saying.
Yeah, so, yeah. So yeah. I question that. I mean, okay. I know, like, you know, a lot of times rentals, it's, you know, it's either it's all covered or it's not covered.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if it's all covered, it's included in the rental. Right. So
that's
how
the
rental is.
You have no idea what their PG&E bills are going to be, or what their water bills are, no. Sewer's going to be.
Well, I'm assuming where you have
PG&E,
because it's just
there are places where you rent utilities, or some of the utilities
are
included.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's other places water. Where you rent, and they're not.
Yeah.
And but the ones, all I'm saying is the ones where they are included, generally you're paying a higher. Rental. I mean, it's basically averaged into the rent.
Right.
So if that, it depends on what that HUD rental standard is. Is that with or without utilities? If it's without utilities, then it's just base rent. And if that's what we're going to be charging them, then they should pay utilities because we're not collecting enough money.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too. I don't have any idea what the HUD minimum or you know what that amount would be, but if you rented a regular house around here for let's just say $1,500, I'm just going to make it up, and HUD is only going to cover it to 12, then
well, is the yeah, you know, the whole suggestion is a place where they have coal and they need
that's kind of what I mean. So like Bob was saying, so if
it's a HUD thing, so there's probably a giant table with all kinds of things on it. So,
right.
But we're going to use the baseline just rent average, then the residents should be paying the utility. To avoid taxes, you know, to avoid it being a subsidy benefit.
The only time I can think of rent being including utilities is where you have a situation where the utilities are for a house and you're renting out rooms.
Right.
You can't split that utility up, you know, so much. So,
well,
I mean, you can split it by that. But,
well, a lot of times, like in apartment buildings, they normally usually don't pay separately for water. Is it
right. Water and garbage.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of falling in.
Right.
Water and that's probably why they have this here because it's condo complexes.
Yeah.
Right. But for their standalone condos,
when we rented here before we built, we paid for everything. You know, we didn't. I mean,
so that, so then we would change this item number 13. It would be that the tenant shall be responsible for arranging for and paying for all utility services required on the premises.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And to drop
out
the remainder.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You don't
want
to
be
first
to the rest of the employees.
70
degrees.
Right. Well, exactly. And, you know, and that's kind of like the sick joke you hear about people. It's like, I'll crack it down to 65 because I like it cool and I'm not paying for it.
Yeah.
I'll take hour and a half showers. I'm not paying. You know, I mean, that type of.
Hanging
in the
living room.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So then, if we back up, I don't know. She who has no children.
Yeah.
What does she ever really care? But the idea of like three
number
nine.
Nine.
Back it up. Because they're all three bedroom houses, correct?
Yes.
So it just says you can either have two adults or two adults and two children. And the two children thing just
seemed that time seems rather limiting for a three-bedroom house. I mean, people.
Yeah, it's given probably because they're within a policy that includes smaller apartments.
Yeah. If we wanted to have it to where I could understand four children because parents would be in one bedroom. Well, but then you'd have the thing if there was, three girls and one boy or something.
If you limit any of the kids at all, then you're limiting people to come up here.
I don't think that's what's intended here. This is somebody bringing, if it's a three-bedroom house, that they rent out one of the bedrooms.
Right.
Yeah, because it's a
subletting paragraph.
Yes.
It's not limiting the tenant. It's limiting their ability to sublet to others and bypass that.
Never mind. Okay. I guess that probably a rich kid thing. That's bizarre. Okay, and then my other little highlights was just that, the condominium thing. And down in 15.
Yeah, that's only one of the two split sublettings.
Yeah,
some of
these are ridiculous.
There's no
reason
for the
weather.
Sublighting the sun.
Sorry, what was that, Dennis?
You can't have the window open in inclement weather.
This is mail.
Sorry. EMD.
Okay. Those were kind of my main things.
I like to see
what they're
good
at. You can't do with that.
Now, where's someone that's coming around and telling me I got to vote?
Okay.
You can't. I mean.
Yeah. I've done that same thing.
Yeah.
Get the wood burning. Stove going too hot. Get windows open.
Right up there was saying you can't hang your clothes outside.
True.
You know it's an apartment when they say you can't block the stairs or the hallways and ingress and egress only. What if they got toys on the stairs? You need to go, like a basket of things you collected from every other room in that house, and they go in the basket, and then when you go to the playroom, you take it and put it away. Don't block the hallway.
No,
some of these are definitely.
The agreement looked out legally anyway.
Just a couple of questions.
And the procedure is pretty straightforward. Did anyone see any concerns with the procedure? Again, there's flexibility to modify it internally if we discover something's not working.
Right. Did we compare this to a regular rental agreement for a house?
I
would, because this is more like an apartment building type rental, I think, rather than just a regular home rental. And the regular home rental is not going to have this, don't leave the window open, don't leave your bike on the stairway, don't have your, all that kind of stuff. So this is like real nitty picky, but a regular home rental agreement won't have all this extra stuff. Yes, to maintain the order of the premises at all times, blah, 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 until people got there.
And if you want the house.
Yeah, not really.
Well, that's,
there's a 30-day evacuation.
The taxpayers, the ratepayers of the district that own these.
Yes.
And we're responsible for managing that asset and keeping it in good condition, mm-hmm. and for it to not exceed the cost of the rent that we charge.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the goal there. And I think that's, they've obviously added those things because they've had problems.
Yep.
And, constantly had to deal with certain issues. So they've added that so they could hold the employee accountable, and not, it really is a part of their employment, because they're renting property in the district, so it's risky for them. They're a bad tenant.
Sure, but then I would make, wouldn't part of their employment be a private agreement with them? Wouldn't be open to the public? And the public can't drive by and say, I saw their hose running down their driveway while they were washing their car. I'm paying for that water and I'm gonna
Well, they're gonna be paying for the utility.
Right.
There's
right,
one stipulation I would say they have to have trash stream, right? Because you don't want them stored in the freaking garage.
Yeah.
Right. So there's certain things that we're gonna have to make sure we manage this place. We don't want them to just like stack all
day.
Yeah, you know. Come store stuff at the house and do a bunch
of maggots.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So we're going to have some kind of. We're going to have some kind of say on this property because it is ours. They're utilizing it for a benefit.
Right.
Right.
So then that would be as part of their employment agreement, which is not open to the public.
That's one thing that one advantage we have. This is going to be, well, hopefully mostly our employees, your employees,
right.
You know, that, you know, we're not just bringing somebody random off of the street.
Right.
And,
are we?
And they're kind of, hopefully they kind of take some pride because it's like their job, their house, you know,
well,
thankful.
And come directly out of their check, so that'd be
That's why I feel when she puts on the bond, because then we can terminate her.
Yeah. Right. And they can too.
Right.
It works both ways.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, let's take a really unfortunate possibility. You have to fire somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
But they hang out. Turns out they're not working out.
Yeah.
They don't show up for work.
You don't want their lease to keep them here.
You don't want them to be on a lease.
Right. And that was addressed in there.
Yeah. I think it was if they are terminated, then they have 30 days.
30 days. Right. You have to keep people. Yeah, that's the same thing as month to month. When it's month to month, it doesn't mean to say you have to get out tomorrow.
Right.
Is there going to be is there going to be a maximum time they can stay in the vehicle? Because if it's cheaper to live there than anywhere else, they're not going to look real hard to get out.
Well, and that's their choice, but it's also, you know, you got a good employee. There's not any reasonable rentals, and we don't have any openings that we're looking to put somebody else in.
And if they
we
if there are good.
There's no list for people coming in that need one, then sure they can sell it.
But also, if there's houses available all of a sudden that people can afford, most people would rather own their house than throw money into rent month after month after month. So.
Hopefully. Yeah, there are people that rent.
Yeah, just
their
whole lives.
For
the
rent. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they don't have to worry about maintenance or anything. They just
you gotta come up with a payment too.
Yes.
You know.
That's why I like the idea.
That is, I mean, we need to think about that. What is a reasonable? How long are you going to put somebody up if we do have a vacancy? And so we need to recruit somebody else. Here? Or not at all.
If we have a vacancy, we're going to be issuing a 30-day notice. I mean, if we've got a vacancy.
So just leave it up to whatever the situation is. So we got somebody you want to hire, we need to have a vacancy. This person has been in there for 8 months or something like that.
Right.
And the thing is, they're still an employee. You can't
come
out of there.
If they just got here, like if they've been in it for 3 months and now we have a new vacancy, we need the house. I mean,
no, I think there should be a minimum. No,
right.
And I think 8 months is, I mean,
I was either thinking 8 months or a year.
Oh, yeah. It's not fun to move.
No,
you know, so if you just move and you just kind of get settled in and then you go like, oh,
I mean,
now I'm right back where I was.
I would say a year.
We're looking at possibly going to a year probation instead of our 6 months. So that would be ideal. Within the year, you become permanent in the year, and you have to find a permanent spot somewhere.
Yeah, maybe part of that.
If there is a vacancy that we're trying to fill, if there's no vacancy that we're trying to fill,
but you don't want to give somebody
a
30-day notice to
but a vacancy can come so quick, you know, and then we're telling, well, you've been here for over a year now you got to move somewhere.
Yeah,
that might not even make probation, so it's like, it's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And say within a year, you have to be moved out. That house has to sit vacant. We figure out something else to do with it, right? Like,
yeah,
it's weird to kick somebody out because we have a vacancy.
Right.
When they've been there for a long time.
That's a good point.
It is weird.
It's different.
And the year goes by like this.
Yeah.
You just move into a new place. You're just getting settled. You're getting
don't
acclimated unpack. To your job and all this kind of stuff.
But the thing is, the purpose of this is to be temporary. But
right.
I mean, you make clear that when people move in. And so putting an actual expiration date on it is one way of doing that.
Well, how long did it
temporary
take the,
maybe a year and a half.
Steve defined.
Well, that was during the pandemic. He was about a year. Adam was in a trailer for a year. Andy was in a trailer for probably close to a year. So,
year and a half.
I don't think we need to look at an end date. That's just my recommendation.
I agree.
I think it's month to month. I mean, it's intended to be that way. It's temporary, short term, month to month. I think I disagree with that, but that's okay. I mean, it doesn't want to sound a killer, but I think it emphasizes the fact that month to month is one thing, but if you say this is the length, after this period of time, it's time to get out.
I would say that emphasizes the fact that
it's temporary housing.
Exactly.
It's not your permanent residence. You need to find another place.
Right.
But at the same time, we also don't want the houses to just sit there vacant.
Right.
So that's
I think we should put Bob's statement only with them. You may have
to. You could have the option.
It's not intended, but if there's other employees that are coming up, and they're in the same predicament.
So how many positions do we have available?
Three.
Okay. How many houses do you plan on buying?
Two.
Okay. So this could happen right away. We could get somebody in there right away, and then you've got someone in each home. And then we hire a third guy that also needs a house.
Well, we're probably going to be buying another few more places.
Eventually,
right?
Probably, yeah.
We're developing a little community or something
right,
like
but,
that.
But not in
right
not
now.
In 6 months.
Right. Not in the time
so
frame.
So this, we need to decide this right now because this could happen right away.
And the scenarios, it could be different too. Say we get one person has a family of four and then we get two other hires that are single. So we put them in one as roommates and
right.
Then put
well, that's, I would do that too.
How many single employees do you have?
None.
Who wants to move to Groveland and be single?
We have single employees.
So
the only, we don't need to look at it. We don't need to base it on.
See,
it doesn't need to be based on anything.
Yeah, sure.
Kids, no kids, sure. Love dogs, don't have dogs. Like,
no,
it's like
kids.
To me, the month right. The month kind of keeps it to where you can say, okay, look, you've been here for
right.
A year and a half.
Right.
We have somebody else coming in and they want to move into a house.
Well, it can be written as with the understanding that the property may need to be utilized for another new hire.
If you kind of say something that it's not meant to be permanent
right.
Housing,
right?
It may at some point, however the lawyer would want to word it much better than I'm doing, but like, yeah, if you've been there for a year and then we need, we have another opening, you may be required to find permanent, look, get your permanent housing lined up because this is meant to be kind of a rotation for new hires and so them to, for them to come up and get settled and meet their probation date and realize they like it and all that kind of stuff. And then now, yes, this is where we want to stay for the next 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
So find out. Yeah. I mean.
Ronnie has a question.
Oops, go for it.
Hi guys, thanks for letting me interject. I just want to play devil's advocate a little bit. The whole reason the district is in the position they're in that they have to buy houses, there's nothing available in the area. So I don't know that there's going to be any guarantee that it's just something to consider that in a year and then you have a new hire coming in, there still may not be anything available in the area for this employee that now has housing and is able to keep their job to go to. So I don't know if that's going to be something that needs to be considered. There just may still not be anything available.
That's true. Yes, that's true.
Yeah, and they're in the fabulous conundrum.
Right.
Because, yeah.
And then you're looking at a person that's living in their house might have a criteria too. Might be plenty of houses out there, but you don't like it.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? It's
Right.
like you have to be actively looking because it's temporary housing. That's all there is
Right.
to it, right?
Right.
That's just based on
Right.
that. So.
So, what about like in Moccasin, Etchy has that's Floyd housing, a lot of that down there. How long do they
That's they live there. Live
they
there.
live there? I used to know one guy that lived down there.
But there's a, I'm pretty sure it's like a rotation though, basically.
What can we
If you're on a list,
Yeah.
if somebody moves out or somebody goes and does this, you get the next person up comes
Right.
in. I'm not speculating on that, but I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been in those homes for over 30 years.
Right. Exactly.
So because they've been working there their whole life.
Right.
But if
Exactly.
somebody leaves, the next person on that list gets to come in and move into the house.
Right. Exactly. That's what I just don't like the idea of saying, okay, your time's up. You're out of here.
Right.
No, we
Right.
could
Yeah.
change it. We would need to have, I mean, the reason Moccasin can do that is they have a lot of housing.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know what portion of their employees are there, but they have a sick. So you can have a rotation. You can have people staying, and eventually people are going to die or move away or do something. And so there's a vacancy opens up, and you can move somebody else in. Right now, we have, I mean, at some point we could have that kind of a policy, but we would need to have more cross spots,
Yeah.
you know, to make that feasible.
I mean,
I mean, we need to have a policy of some kind right now, you know, now for entering this thing. There's different ways you could just do it with no limit. It was just as you say, just suddenly surprise people by saying, hey, here's your 30-day notice because we need this house for something else.
Like when we moved up here, we had to sign a, I think we signed a 6 month or a year lease. I think we signed a year because Craig was like, oh, for sure, we'll have a house built within a year or whatever. Well, not even close.
I gotta go, guys.
All right.
Not a big read.
Okay.
We were nowhere close to it. And it's like, oh, good Lord, what are we going to do if they say, oh, sorry, we've got another client coming right behind you and whatever. Because, you know, I don't, luckily they just extended it for 6 months and then for 6 more months
Right.
because it was just, but yeah, it's a scary feeling to think they could kick us out. We still have like boxes, will obviously be unpacked to the
You can
bare
have boxes
minimum.
unpacked up at the club that you want for the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like,
Yeah,
all
we'll,
until we could actually store
yeah.
them in a storage unit,
Yeah.
because
Yeah.
even there wasn't even a storage unit available. So
Right.
yeah, so
Like, we rented our house in Modesto out. We rented out for a year. It was a year contract, and now it's month to month. And we're not going to extend
I
it
think
because, you
my
know,
mom's apartment is that way. She had like a short, probably a 6 month mandatory, and then now it's just month to month. She can leave with 30 days notice.
we can kick them out or they can leave. But yeah, just, yeah.
I,
Okay,
you
so
know,
you
Andy
leave this
talked
to
to that
death.
lawyer about what a waiver raises. I do feel like there should be not lease, as you know, if you want to guarantee somebody to stay for a year, these don't work out, for example.
Yeah. Yeah,
But I
that
think
would be
there
the best.
should be some kind of provision that at least makes emphasizes that this is temporary housing. You
But at
should be
least I can
looking
sign a document saying I
you should be
understand this
looking
is
for a
temporary
place right
housing.
now,
Cool.
you know, to move
Yeah.
into,
Maybe
because
say
it's going to take a while.
something like, okay, it's a year and a half, but then afterwards it's month to month. I mean, a year and a half that you're able to stay there. No,
No, I
too
don't
long.
work
No,
long,
no
maybe
lease.
long.
No
No,
lease.
no,
No, not a
no,
lease.
because we're not in the housing market. We need,
Right.
we're buying those for positions. And it
Right.
seems
I
like,
agree. But
you know, to have three all at one time is unusual, but we We have had an occasions when we're always looking for one.
Leave it a month to month. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to worry about it because if it's month to month and they've been here 6 months and you got another employee coming, you could say, hey, look, you know, we need to use this house. Okay. And just word it in there that, yes, you could be asked to leave after a while, you know, because this is a temporary situation.
The one time we have to issue a notice because we got a key position we got to fill and we're telling a good employee that they've got to go somewhere, then that's the trigger for it's time to get another unit. We're going to really need to look at, we either need to have some tiny homes.
When we first started talking about this, I
put an ADU on any of these lots. We can put an ADU on a couple of them. We need to look at it from that perspective. Good point.
Well, and especially if you think of it,
on the ones we're talking about now, put an ADU on one.
Is that then like up to the 1,200 square feet thing?
We might even get some money for that. You know, there's a lot of
if that would be ideal, because then we kind of get a twofer.
Yeah, I mean, I envisioned when we first started talking about this, eventually I knew we'd be looking at houses, you know, single, but I envisioned an area where we built so many small houses, whatever,
like the property,
and that's our employees, and you know, they got a community there.
Employee compound.
Yes, exactly.
Well, like I said.
Like
little
weeks of barbecues.
Well, we would, you know, ideally we would have an inventory of places where we didn't have to issue the notice. They're going to want to get to their regular community instead of
a community. Make sure, you know, have them sign, you mentioned this, have them just sign something as part of the going into a process that says, you know, this really is only temporary housing. You could be
that you have. They're going to have to sign this whole policy too, that they agree to it anyway.
Yeah, but I'd have that.
Maybe that's okay.
But I'm thinking on these key elements the initial, like when you're signing a contract for to rent a car, initial here for your insurance, initial here. You know, so they can't say, "Well, I never rent
this
car."
I want a full signature.
Well, no, and then at the end of it, you sign for the whole thing. But on these key things, it's not meant to be permanent.
Maybe that's better.
But again,
utilities, you know.
Let's say you have an opening and a new employee comes and they don't want a house. Their own place.
Sure.
So, you know, you don't want this thing to sit empty.
No.
Right.
So you don't want to just say, okay, after a year, you got to be gone.
Well, we don't say anything
at
all.
At some point, if we need to use this house for another employee who's coming in.
Well, you don't want to really say that. I wouldn't say that. I would just say this is temporary.
It's not meant to be permanent.
Yes.
You know,
Just have them acknowledge.
Don't give them a reason why. Well, we've got a better employee coming in or another, you know. That's
adding
obvious.
That to the end of the procedure. And you know, because it's more of a procedural matter, we're gonna, and then we'll just generate a separate form.
It's a form that accompanies the rental agreement.
Do they do like annual increases or anything?
I have not had the time to look into it. I think they.
Yeah, they do. I think so.
Because
it's a survey and landlords are doing annual increases, so I'm sure that the survey result comes out with annual increases.
Well, California, you can only increase so much.
I'm still trying to sell
1.3 acres.
Our management company called us. Our management company called us and said we're going to increase the rent. He said, yeah, go ahead, you know, and then they came back and said, oh, no, it's too early. We can't do it yet. So, you know, but I mean, the way I felt was if it's a good renter, I'm getting my money, I'm paying my And I don't care to get rich. I'm going to keep it the same because I want them to stay there.
Yeah.
But with California, that you can only rent it, you know, we do it every single time we can now. It's because you don't want, you get behind, then you're done.
It's an unintended consequence of that.
Yes. Because, I mean, if I had a, if we had a good renter in there that was paying on time, taking care of the place, I'm not going to raise the rent on them. You know?
So I was on the landlord a long time ago. Just leave it flat and raise and jack it up on the,
My friend who's on a very limited budget rents in Atwater, you know, which during 2020, you know, all of that was frozen.
Oh, yeah.
21, all of it was frozen. Well, she's like, oh, well, yeah, this is kind of, and I said, well,
get ready.
It'll catch up to you. I mean, just don't be acting like, you know, I've got, you know, free money. Well, then in 2023, when they did a rate hike, she was just like, oh my God. And it was like this much more. Normally it only went up by $100. It went up by $200. And I said, well, for 20 and for 21. You should have known that was coming.
During COVID, our renters didn't pay and they were into us for over 10 grand.
Wow.
Okay, so
yes.
What are we doing? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, what the changes that I have so far are in the, you know, making sure that the utilities are signed up and paid by the tenant. I've added to the procedure the acknowledgement of the fact that this is temporary employee housing. And
we all need to review the.
Right, and then we also had the text here that we still had.
Yeah, we should probably also should add in the procedure a proviso that the HUD, the rental rates will be reevaluated each time there's a new HUD served.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, just add that.
I don't know if it's annual or every 2 years or whatever, but when that happens, there will be at least look back.
Even though I thought the condo and whatever that verbiage was weird, we could just leave it in there for when, if we have our little G-town.
I think it has a name.
What did we say? I'm sorry. My brain is not.
As that HUD will be reviewed each year, and it does look like it's going up every year. It went up $200 from 2023 to 20 about.
Cheese
out. I mean, I'm a little. That takes very much simple.
Okay, listen, Bob, just in the policy, in section 5, there's where it addresses the program rental rate. The first paragraph is tying it to HUD. The second paragraph ties it to our annual budget.
It already says it, sorry.
Yeah, no, so it evaluates the monthly rental rate annually as part of the budget preparation. So we would just have that as one of the things on our list to do is to just review that and make adjustments then.
Beautiful. Super. Yeah, I mean, eventually you're getting more than what the note is. That gives you the ability to afford more places.
I think we beat this horse to death, but I think it was good discussion.
But there is
actually real with it. Yes.
I move to adopt resolution 18-2024 approving an employee housing rental policy.
I'll second that.
Is that with the amendments?
As amended.
Perfect.
Cool.
All right. So,
public comment?
Any more?
No.
Nothing there. No public comment here. So resolution 18-2024, resolution of the Grove Community Service District Board of Directors agreement for employee housing rental policy. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say nay. So I've been read that one, so it's short and sweet.
It is.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. Okay, then now we're going into closed session.
Yeah, you read the item, and then we will have a
where the money is public comment. Okay, so 8A, conference with real property negotiators, government code section 549-56.8. And we're going to close the session to,
we'll ask for public comment, but there is nobody here. Everybody left.
Do you have to, we need to have you for the property negotiations to go through yourself.
Yeah,
because
it's on the agenda.
I think so.
Okay. So, as it pertains to property 19303 Ferretti Road, California, 95321 12 or 19273 Salvador Court, Groveland, California, and 19976 Pine Mountain Drive in Groveland, California. The agency negotiator, general manager, Tampa, and administrative services manager, Jennifer Donavidian. Seller negotiator, Pamela Powell, Theodore Arcado, and Kenneth and Fina Annick. Under negotiation, price and terms. Two.
Okay. And I don't have any attendance here, so I thought to put those comments so we can open the chat.
Oh boy.
Thank you for your assistance.
Oh, thank you.
We could give me less if I haven't done it in 5 minutes.
All right, so we are in fourth session.
I don't know why I got picked to
do that. And she just looked at you,
Hey, you. I'm sure there's people.
Okay, we will return to open session at 12:23, it looks like.
Yeah.
We announced that we'll give direction to our negotiator. Turn off my scam list. And do you have anything else?
That's it.
It's just
that. We will call for an adjournment also at 12:23.
That's real.